Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning once again. Welcome to the show. Today's Tuesday, April 28th. A very dark day is the big headline on CNN. And this country is in crisis right now.
Have
you been following what's going on in Baltimore?
Of course I have. It's awful. I mean, it's awful. Nepal's awful. Everything is awful at one time. It's kind of, you know, where do you even start with, like, what's worse?
Right. I know. And I think there's enough blame to go around, but I think it's too soon to probably judge anybody or anything.
Right. But, you know, though, I think that with things that are happening, it will force action. It has to, because you can't keep having, like, a Ferguson, Missouri, and then what's happening in Baltimore without changes. So
right.
I've been seeing on the news too so many promotions for stories about cameras on cops.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So I think maybe now they will have to do that, because there's no choice. It's our word versus theirs, and it's like
right.
our word being, you know, the person being either attacked by a cop or whatever. But
right.
hopefully there's action.
I know. But, hopefully they'll punish a lot of these people that started this, because, well, they're saying it's gangs and hooligans and things like that, you know, so
that are starting all the riots.
Right. So, you know, I don't know who's responsible for it, but obviously there's a lot of people protesting. They're saying about 144 cars were set on fire and 19 structure fires, you know, and that's not, there were about 200 arrests, and people are just like blown away. You know, how can their, you know, business owners, things like that, you know, see their life work being destroyed
mm-hmm.
by looters and, you know, people that damage things. And it's very sad. I really feel bad for them. I remember when we had the riots here after the Rodney King trial. And that wasn't pretty either, you know. I mean, but it wasn't anything like this. This is way out of control.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, when you watch the clips, it's amazing. These people have so much, such lack of regard for authorities, you know,
mm-hmm.
throwing bricks at cops and things like that. And I mean, it's just like it, I couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know.
Yeah.
In America in the 21st century. But, you know, so it just goes to show, you know, I mean, the racial divide is still there big time.
Yeah.
In this country, you know. I really hoped, I don't think I'm the only one, though, but I think many people hoped that when we got a black president, things would improve. But, you know, because to show that, look, you know, we can elect a black president. And obviously many white people had to vote because the black population is not big enough to have put him in office by itself.
Right.
You know, so.
But here's the thing. I mean, and while, yes, we do have a black president, there are still other people that do jobs that they do. So we can't control what these cops are doing or what, you know, like.
No, true. But what I'm saying is I think it's the environment that you create, you know. And I think, I don't know, again, my personal opinion, I think this president has galvanized and polarized people more than he's bridged gaps. And, you know, it's not just with racial things. I see it with Republicans in the White House, with allies, things like that. He's just sort of like cozied up to the terrorists and nobody else matters, you know. If he's not responsible for, you know, for creating a more peaceful environment, the more, you know, I mean, he promised hope and healing and all that stuff. I don't see that. I don't see that happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, look, when the economy is good, we give him all the credit. You know, when things are good, we give him the credit.
Right.
So we should hold him responsible when things are not good. You know, that's my opinion. But it's a very charged topic, you know. I mean, I don't like when you see extremists from both sides
right.
on Facebook and stuff, you know.
I mean, I could never work in politics or even really report. I mean, we talk about things just every day, but I could never see myself working as a reporter that deals with specifically politics.
Really?
Yeah, because I also think it's such a weird world, you know, that they're living in governing people. Yeah. And this is what I always say about people. People cannot be controlled because there are the lunatics out there that do what they want.
Right.
Like, what's his name? James Holmes, who's on trial right now for shooting people in Aurora, Colorado.
Right.
Who is to stop him?
Right.
Like, what are we going to put, you know, metal detectors in every single movie theater now? And it's just, what are we going to do about people and the craziness of them?
Right. And there's probably nothing we can do. I mean, you're always going to get nuts.
Right.
You know.
So I do think, for politics, for instance, I mean, you know, we can't really control human beings as much as we can control the economy or, like, our security as far as, like, a nation, let's say.
Right.
But, like, the internal stuff, I don't know what can be done. Because even he commented on the stuff that's happening in Baltimore, saying that this is, like, the worst situation. And this is not a state of humanity in any way. And so I think, you know, it's really hard to judge, like, whose fault humanity is.
Right. Yeah. But I think we need dialogue and one that's open and not politically correct. I think people need to sit down and discuss and not have divisions. You know, I mean, you've seen some leaders in the government or otherwise that are looking to drive a wedge between both sides, you know, between whites and blacks, rather than create a bridge.
Which is why, for me, when I talk about this kind of stuff, I just think it's people. It's people doing bad things to other people. And so, like, I mean, James Holmes is white. That's why I gave that example. Like, and he's also mentally unstable. So I think I have a hard time, like, pointing at any particular side or even acknowledging that there are sides. Like, I understand there are parties in the White House, and I get that. I don't even understand why there's that.
What, different parties in the government?
Yes.
So you'll have choices.
Well, fine.
Yeah, because so, one is the right and one is the left. Right.
But then that's still saying there's a divide. That's still saying we are we divide on these issues. And it's making people pick sides versus platforms and like issues. I think if people stood for issues and it wasn't more like, well, we're this and we're that and I vote with that and I vote with that, like, you don't also have to align with a side. You can vote based on, like, a la carte issues.
Well, no, absolutely. You know, and I don't align myself with a party or anything. I voted both Democrat and Republican in presidential elections.
As have I.
Right. And it's something that is part of, you know, of a government. You really don't want just one party.
Right.
I think the problem is we have only two parties, you know, and that's everything else doesn't really matter. You know, libertarians and all that, they never get to anything.
Right.
So it's two basic parties. I think the key is to bring them closer together. And I think this country has been closer before, but I think that boils down to the top, you know, I mean, all the way to the president to create a certain unity, you know. I mean, I remember with Ronald Reagan, I mean, he was a Republican and there were still, you know, I mean, the Democrats that opposed what he did and everything. But there was a lot of consensus, too, you know, and a lot of agreement. And I remember that with Bill Clinton as well. So, I mean, there's always going to be the people that want to get you out of office. But at the same time, you have to take a certain responsibility of talking to the other side and representing yourself. And yeah, I mean, we can sit here and deny that there are sides, but there are, Jen. I mean, people, you know, it's like whether it's in government, whether it's in society, people feel split, you know, and it's going to take probably a few generations until these racial differences stop making a difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's already been, like, I always bring it back to Selma. Like, if that is a movie that came out now and this is still happening,
right?
That it's not history.
Right, we've got a problem.
It's now.
Still, yeah.
So,
current events.
Right.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, at least we don't have slaves anymore, but if we're in, if people feel enslaved for whatever reason, that's, you know, still a big issue.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, we'll leave that to bigger people than us to discuss and dissect and everything.
Yes. You know?
It's just it's too charged a topic. And but you know what? I mean, on the one hand, I'm optimistic that things will improve as the generations continue after us. But at the same time, you look at other countries in the world, it's like almost, it seems like almost everywhere there's racism and division of classes and, you know, class. Or,
I think in other places it's less racism and more classes and religion.
Well, not necessarily, but, you know, but you're right. I mean, you know, not many places have, well, you know, I don't know. It's a big problem. And it's not always obviously black and whites. That's what I'm saying. I mean, in other countries, it's different groups and different ideologies. But yeah, I think racism is rampant in many places. But I guess it's just part of human nature, I guess, to make you feel better about yourself or something.
I guess.
By putting other people down.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's that. And, you know, I'm sure a lot of people that live in Baltimore and stuff, they know this is not their city. They're embarrassed to be caught like this. But what can you do? You know, I mean, just like if we live there, we represent nothing about those riots. And yet people say, oh, you people in Baltimore, you know. So I don't know. I've seen a lot of people. There's a lot of debate going on the social networks, as you might expect.
Yes, of course. But the good thing that we have, you know, social media is that, like, everyone everywhere can know everything. So it's not just a Baltimore issue.
Right.
You know, like back in the, you know, old days where it was very local. Right. And only people there knew what was going on with what was going on there. And it was hard to get other people involved. And now, I mean, everyone across the country is, you know, upset about what's happening in Baltimore.
Right.
Same thing with Ferguson, Missouri.
Right.
So.
Yeah. Everybody's got an opinion. I guess that's a good thing, you know. That's the thing about social media. It's like everybody gets to be a star, at least in their own world, you know?
Yes, that is true.
And I mean, I just can't believe the narcissism with some posts, you know, the pictures that people put up. Some people just love themselves. You can see that. I mean, it's good to love yourself, but this is going overboard when you start to post pictures of yourself all the time.
Yes.
You know, I don't mean with friends and stuff. I just mean alone, you know, like either selfies or, you know, or chicks in bikinis and things like that. You know, everybody's trying to get attention and they'll do just about anything. So that's funny to me that some people are so self-involved.
Yes.
It's so funny. Wow. So let's see what else is going on. So we don't have a guest today. I guess today's and tomorrow's guests had to reschedule. So did you get a hold of
I've got great guests for Wednesday and Thursday.
Awesome. I think, Thursday we do have a guest, right?
Yes. Well, she actually needs to reschedule. And so tomorrow we will have a guest named Taylor King. And Thursday will be Lauren Leonelli.
Oh, wow. Well, I'm looking forward to that. You friends sure are cool.
Thanks. Yeah. They have a lot to say, too.
Yeah.
A lot. Tomorrow, Taylor, she is somebody that owns a great store in Los Angeles. It's called Espionage. And she sells vintage and consignment and like gifts and things. And she's got a lot of celebrity clients. Mm. And a lot of the talent agencies hire her to like do all the gifting for everybody.
Really?
Yeah. So she's had like very cool people come into the store and like had to put together gifts for like random celebrities that like games, and she has to put together a whole thing for them. And she can tell you more about it. But she's also very into fashion, so maybe we'll play a fashion game.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second friend that's into fashion, right?
Caitlin was too. This is my only other friend I think that's in fashion.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
You're in your element if they like to speak, to talk a lot, right?
Yes. Oh, my friends are not out. Shy. Well, I do in my own way, but my friends are not shy. That's for sure. And speaking of Lauren, we actually have an interview today at AfterBuzz with two former American Idol people.
Contestants?
Yeah. Okay. And so that's going to be a really fun episode. And I don't know when it's going live, but it might be live actually when we film it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if anybody wants to check it out.
Okay. Where do they go?
You should follow along on Two Drunk Girls. All of our social media will be promoting it and posting pictures and videos from it, and then we'll tell you when it's going live.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Are they people that you know or remember from American Idol?
Yes, two people that we know.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they're each doing, like, cool things now that they've been off the show.
Uh-huh.
So it'll be fun.
But, I mean, did they make it big on the show? Does anybody remember
that? So one of them is Blake Lewis, and he, I think, was third runner-up. Not third runner-up. He was the third.
Yeah, like second runner-up.
Right, that one. Second runner
third
up.
Place.
The season of Catherine McPhee, and I forget who the runner up was. Mm. And then the other one is Elliot Yamin.
Mm. Sounds like Jewish or Israeli, no?
I think Yamin? He's Jewish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yamin means right. Like the side, right side.
Oh.
Is Yamin.
Interesting. What's the left side?
Small. Yeah.
Okay. Got it. So, yeah, that's we're talking to them today. We have a fun drinking game we're playing with them called Whiskey Business.
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Yeah.
Okay. Our intern came up with that name. Shout out to Jiggy. So, yeah, we have a team meeting at 1 o'clock, and then we're getting ready for our interview.
Well, there you go. You see? You have a fun life.
Thanks.
I'm sure a lot of people would like to be in that same place. And it's cool, you know, because many people are stuck in their 9-to-5, and I'm sure they're, like, miserable. Not all of them, but many people that work 9-to-5 in an office are not happy.
Yeah.
You know, so when you can create a life for yourself where you don't do that, and you still create excitement in your life, and you can make a living from it, then why not?
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing. And I think that's one nice thing about LA is people actually dare to do these things.
They do. Yeah. We live a very non-conventional life career-wise.
Right. I mean, you go and you go during the day and the restaurants and coffee shops are full.
Yeah.
You go, when does anybody work around here?
I don't know, honestly. Well, I find that I get a lot of work done throughout the day. Like, I was thinking about that on my drive over. I'm like, there is no shortage. I don't waste time. I don't think, because I'm either sending emails, having calls, you know, answering questions that somebody may have for a project that we're working on later. Like, it's all getting done.
Right.
I'm not in an office by any means. I'm like in the car going from the radio show to the next thing to the next thing. And it's all getting done.
Right.
So I do think that we're able now to do a lot more and not from a typical place like a desk.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good. A lot of people, yeah, they don't work in desks anymore. They work from their car.
There's more freedom now because you can be so connected by, like, phone and email and all that. And
exactly, yeah. Like me. I mean, I work all day, but I don't sit in my office, you know?
Right.
So, I mean, I move around. So,
and that's fun.
Yeah, that's good. You know, I mean, it gives me the flexibility that I like.
Yeah.
You know? But, you know, talking about something related, I think we mentioned that sitting around is not good for your health.
No.
And so now they're really talking about it. I guess they're saying that they're comparing this to smoking, to it being just as dangerous for your health to sit around. And that's really been concerning me because I do sit around, but I don't do anything to counteract that with exercise and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I need to make it a point to start riding my bike and get the blood flowing in my legs. So it's, I mean, you know, and we have a sitting culture. You know, we tend to sit all the time.
We do.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like all these things. So I'm sitting and smoking. and so let me give you like another list here. Of things that they said, hold on, let me just find this real quick. Oh, things that you can do to prevent Roseanne Barr's eye disease.
Oh.
Okay? So they tell you how to do things, and Most of them I'm guilty on.
Oh, no.
So that's scary. Okay, well, the first thing is easy. They say to slip on your shades, even when it's cloudy. Well, I do that because my eyes have gotten sensitive. And so I wear shades all the time. I hope that helps. I don't know. Schedule in a regular walk. Well, I don't do that. That's what we were just talking about. They're saying that it reduces the eye pressure that leads to glaucoma.
Walking?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
And it may improve blood flow to the retina and optic nerve. So, yeah. I mean, that's one thing I discovered about the body. It's not like a machine. You know, machines, the more you use them, the more worn out they get.
Right.
And they get broken. No. With humans, it's like the other way. The less you use it, the worse off you're going to be.
Yep.
You got to keep in the...
It's the same thing with your brain.
Yeah. See, at least I'm exercising my brain a lot, but I sure don't want to be like a Stephen Hawking where all I have is my brain.
Right. No, also
yeah.
True.
Yeah. Also, eat your greens. They're saying that that helps in developing macular degeneration. Snack on almonds, citrus, and berries. So there's one thing to do. I actually like those. I don't eat as much as I should.
I like them.
And avoid cigarette smoke, of course. It's not good for your eyes. And so there you go. I'm guilty of a few of those. And I really need to start taking care of myself. I know I say that, but it takes commitment. You know, I don't like changing my life when it runs nicely.
Okay.
You know? But I gotta be preventative too, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Got to think of the future, man. So I don't know. But you work hard all your life to stay healthy and everything, and then you get hit by a car or something, you know. So you never know.
You never know.
I guess I never know. So what else is going on in the world? Of course, I was reading more people from Minnesota were arrested for going to ISIS. So I don't know what's going on there, man.
I don't know, but I'm glad that they're actually staying on top of it and arresting people.
Yeah, I know. I know. Who knows how many are slipping between their hands, you know?
That's true.
Yeah. But yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like people talk about it all the time, and there's still no consensus as to what we're supposed to do, you know? Let's see. Now, of course, we've got the earthquake, which is... let me close this here. The earthquake in Nepal, of course. I mean, the more pictures and videos that come out of there, the more devastating it looks.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, the... So now they're saying that the toll has passed 4,600 people. That's a lot of people.
It's a lot of people.
You know, and I don't picture Nepal as like a built-up place. You know, I'm thinking of small villages and stuff, but apparently there's big cities there. And a lot of people are dead. So that's sad. And, of course, everybody in L.A. now is worried because we're a big contender for something like this. And I don't know what's going to happen, man. I just hope I'm not too far from home, you know, if my home is still intact.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean
just
think
about
it. Yeah, where do you go? You know, the thing is that...
They said people in Nepal were sleeping outside just because that was safer.
Right. But I think, what they usually do, I guess, they use schools and things like that to house people. And churches and synagogues and things like that to let people that became homeless.
Well, yeah, but that's for the homeless, but not the people that are like when you're actually experiencing the earthquake, where do you just run into the street?
Oh,
but what
I see.
If things fly out at you?
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. And how much time do you really have, you know,
right.
to run outside and stuff? So, yeah, but I think outside is definitely safer, you know. I mean, there are power poles and,
right.
and things like that.
I mean, there's also like, let's say this building was collapsing and we're in it. I mean, I don't know where we go.
Yeah, you don't.
I have no idea.
Stay here.
Well, and then if we were outside, what if this building collapsed on us outside?
Yeah.
Because we'd be outside. So I don't know what you do.
I know.
Just get lucky, I think.
Yeah, you get lucky. And if you're stuck in the freeway and something happens to the freeway, you're in deep doo-doo.
Yeah. They do say, though, if you're driving, you don't feel it.
Yeah, that's right. I just meant that if the freeway breaks down or something. Yeah, like it did here in 94.
Right.
Yeah. I remember
What freeway was that?
That was the 14 on the way to... When you take the 5 north...
Yeah.
It's like right before Magic Mountain. It splits into the 5 and the 14. It's called the Antelope Valley Freeway.
Oh, okay.
Antelope Freeway.
I don't think I've ever been there.
Something like that. But you know what the amazing thing is? I got to tell you, because to me, it's memorable. Because during that time... Well, I had moved to Vegas, and my wife at the time stayed here to have my son for a few months. And then she moved with me, and that's when we split up and everything. But the point was that I would come and visit them every week when I lived in Vegas. I would drive here every week. So I figured that in order for me to be able to handle this, I have to drive very fast. So I would go like really late at night or early in the morning, where, you know, there's no traffic to slow me down. So I would leave Monday at like 4 o'clock in the morning to be able to be at work at 10 o'clock in Vegas. And that's the freeway I would take. And not only that, but it happened at about early in the morning when I probably would have been there around that time, you know.
Yeah.
And the freeway would have been like... broken.
Yeah.
So I can't forget that. I mean, that was and that was also interesting because I guess I came here, but the family wasn't here anymore. It's like we moved like a week before the earthquake happened.
Wow.
I know.
What timing.
It was funny. But the house we left behind here and rented out did have some damage, but nothing serious. You know, we were in Chatswood. The earthquake was in Northridge, so it's right next door. But, you know, I mean, we're sitting on a time bomb here. You know, I mean, you know, let's just not talk about it.
Yeah, it's pretty scary.
It is, right? It really is.
Again, at least with hurricanes, growing up in Miami, you can plan for them.
Exactly.
I mean, you have no idea what the devastation is going to be, but at least you know you can do something to help.
Right. Yeah,
or to leave.
Yeah, leave, run, do something. I know.
I mean, I've lived through plenty of hurricanes, like where you just put up the shutters and hang out.
Right.
You stay inside.
Yeah.
We've never had really bad damage, at least to my houses. But yeah. I've seen it.
Really?
I mean, I was there in Miami. During Hurricane Andrew. And I remember being little and like having to shower out of like water bottles, and it was like a week or two where we just didn't have power, and then we went and helped other people, and
Wow, 2 weeks?
That's
a long time.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. What else is going on, Jen? There's a lot of stuff here. I forgot what I wanted to talk about. Yeah, you see, that's a problem. I don't write things down, so I don't always remember. Oh, man. I'm a nutcase. So, okay, have you heard of Jane Goodall? Does the name ring a bell to you?
Yes.
And so for those of you who don't know, she's a scientist, a biologist, I guess, that works with primates. And she's famous for Gorillas in the Mist and... Yeah, so that was like a book and a movie. And so she is coming out against SeaWorld now. And she says that it should close down and they should let all the animals go there. And so, you know, when she's trying to explain this, she says that these animals are supposed to be in the wild. And, you know, in captivity, it's detrimental to them. But the interesting thing that she said also is, you know, she mentioned that they communicate, you know, dolphins and whales communicate with sonar-like sound waves. So keeping them confined in tanks mean those sound waves bounce off the walls and echo back, and creating what she called an acoustical hell for the animals. Think about it. It's true, right? Because their sounds hit walls and they bounce back. It's not like when you're in the ocean and it just sort of like just goes.
Yeah. So what does that do to the animal then?
It probably makes them crazy. I don't know. But don't you think the trainers and the caretakers would notice something like that? I don't know. But apparently SeaWorld is coming out against her and saying that, you know, we disagree. Those animals are... they claim that the animals like to do this, you know, and that they allow people to experience animals in a way that's inspiring and educational. Yeah, but nobody's asking the animals.
Right, and I think enough has come out about the treatment of them there, like with blackfish and everything else. So I think that maybe one day we will see them closed.
You know, but how is it possible they would mistreat the animals? I mean, they're their world, you know. I mean, when you see the trainers and everything, they have a special bond with these animals. So I can't see that they would knowingly be cruel to the animals. I've never seen the movie you mentioned.
Blackfish, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
I'm surprised any SeaWorlds are still even open after that.
Really?
Because it was one of those things that brought everyone to the conversation where people were like, never going to SeaWorld again. And
so how did they just continue? And
I don't know. I also don't think that, you know, again, it's education. Not everyone's educated. Not everyone watches CNN documentaries.
Right.
And so I think in certain areas in this country, there's probably a lot more attending of SeaWorld.
Right. But yeah, but you would think that with something like this, activists would do everything they can to close them down, you know. So I'm surprised. I mean, yes, the movie brings it to our consciousness, but we got to do something.
We got to do a lot of things.
Yeah, we got to do a lot of things.
There are a lot of issues going on.
You know, I mean, thank God they're like animal activists and stuff, you know, because the stuff that's going on in the world. And especially we do have a show here, State of the Oceans, and they discuss this every week. And you should definitely check it out. They're environmentalists. They chase ships and boats that hunt whales, and they like out them and things like that. So
yeah. Did you hear that Chipotle will be the first restaurant to no longer use genetically modified products?
No, I haven't heard.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're getting
rid of them. So that means they're going into organic now or what?
They are. And I mean, obviously, like, pricing will change of things.
Mm.
But
yeah,
they're going to stop using things with pesticide and stuff in them. Even though, obviously, people defend GMOs and say that, you know, we need them to fight off pests off of products and things, and that it's not harmful to the person that's ingesting it. But I wouldn't want to eat chemicals if I could avoid it.
Yeah.
You know?
I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
Chipotle might have just, you know, rose within the ranks in my food.
Yeah. Good. Have you ever eaten there?
I have. I just don't really eat.
You don't eat fast food and stuff.
No.
Yeah. I know. I try to stay away from that too, but sometimes you just feel like a hamburger or something, you know. So we go out for a hamburger. But yeah, you try not to do that too much. And I remember when I was much younger, like a teenager, I used to live on fast food because I lived alone. I didn't cook or anything. You know, I was young. So yeah, I ate a lot of McDonald's in my time. Maybe that's why I can't even stand to sit a foot in a McDonald's. And they better do something about that, too, because their business has been going down quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've been losing a lot of business. There's a lot of companies in trouble, you know, but it's like, you know, they put, like, well-paid CEOs up there. I mean, people that make, like, millions and millions of dollars. And then they screw up big time. Then they let them go and pay off their contract. So this person is like, forced to resign, but he's leaving with $100 million, and he couldn't care less.
Right.
So there you go. You know, so I think, obviously, CEOs are overpaid. They write about this all the time, also in the papers, that CEOs make way too much money for what they do. But at the same time, you got to remember, I mean,
who else is going to do it?
Yeah, it's a leader of a multi-billion-dollar company, then...
I think there should just be, like, clauses in their contract that make them care still. Because they can't just check in and check out, like, and then know that if they screw up that their contract will be paid out.
Right.
There has to be some sort of checks and balances and quality.
No, absolutely. You know, but the thing is that they can, you know, if they can prove maybe that they didn't do their job or whatever, maybe they can actually just get rid of them.
Yeah.
But it's, yeah, it's a tough situation because you never know. But like you said, without these people, who would lead the company, you know, right. Big companies too. So, but then again, you expect a CEO that makes that kind of money not to make too many mistakes.
And here's the thing, though, too, with CEOs, I think. They're older because they've been in the game for a while. However, they're not necessarily educated on today's issues, like with technology and whatever the trends are that make things succeed. So their ways might be a little antiquated.
Right.
But then the catch 22 is you can't have someone young come in and run a company.
Right. Well, that depends. Not necessarily. I mean, look, they took Marissa Mayer to Yahoo, and she's pretty young. She's in her 30s.
Yeah.
And, you know, so, I mean, the jury's still out as to whether she's fixed the company or not.
Right.
I told you I just finished reading the book on it, and now I'm reading the news on it. And, yeah, I mean, she's done a lot better than the people before her. I mean, they've had a lot of leadership problems. So that's one. But there's also, like, you're totally right when they don't understand the technology and stuff. Like, for example, Yahoo had a CEO named Carol Bartz that came from Autodesk. Now, Autodesk makes AutoCAD, which is a very popular program, very successful. So she came from there. So people expected her to know something, but she's not a techie.
Right.
So, you know, she – or no – She's a techie, but she wasn't into the internet. She didn't understand much about the internet. And you don't go and lead Yahoo without understanding
how
the
internet. How can you be a techie and not know the internet?
Yeah, because, you know, the internet came later. And you got to remember
what qualifies her as a techie then?
You know, maybe understanding products, computers, how things work, things like that. You know, but the internet was pretty new when she came on board.
Yeah.
And yeah, but she needed to understand that, obviously. And that's why Yahoo hired Marissa Mayer from Google, because they felt that she was, she knew what she was doing, you know.
Yeah.
But it was a big gamble to go on someone young and that's never been a CEO before. But you know, you mentioned also like the checks and balances. They do have like incentives for them, you know, so it's like they know if they're not, they get like stock options and things like that, you know, so.
Yeah, but don't they get those anyway?
Yeah, but if the stock goes down, then they don't make a lot of money, you know, so yeah. But it's a pretty complex thing when it comes to stocks and finance. But I envy people that are into it because they make a lot of money.
Yes.
To me, it's kind of boring, you know, but.
Well, I don't like risk in that way. Like, I can take a risk on certain things, but when it's my money, I don't know that I can take that risk.
Right. You know what? But I got to tell you, you know, once you you accumulate a certain amount of money, let's say that, okay, what do you do with it? You don't want to keep it in cash because it loses its value, you know. Plus, you can't really do anything with it if you have a lot of money, you know, because what are you going to do, go buy a car for cash? You know, so you have to put your money somewhere. And in the bank, you're going to get less than 1% interest. It's like almost zero.
Mm-hmm.
So in the stock market, you can make, you know, anywhere from 5% to 20% a year or something like that. You know, obviously, you know, if things are looking good. But you are taking risk with your money. But when you have that kind of money, you want
the
to
risk
be able
is also
to
smaller
make
for
it grow.
Somebody with lots of money.
No, that depends.
Well, no, what I'm saying is like if they don't invest all of it.
Right.
If they invest all of it, which I don't know why anyone would do that, but it's like investing on that when you're playing, when you're gambling.
Right. That's why they say, you know, invest in different things.
Right.
Not just in stock.
Exactly. Right. So I'm saying, like, if someone were to buy some stock and that crashed, that person would still have more money. Let's say they didn't invest all of it.
Right.
If I invested some of my money right now, I'd be like, well, that.
Right. That's why it's a shame. Yeah. It's not for, it's for rich people.
Right.
You know, it's when people accumulate some money and they want to invest it. And there's people that take a lot bigger risks. I mean, what about investors that put their money into a new small company, a startup or something that hasn't made a dime yet? And these people do it all the time. They support them. But the bigger the risk, obviously, the bigger the payoff.
Yeah.
And some people are not as risk averse as others.
I helped a friend the other day when that friend was going to possibly invest in a company that's a startup. I said, wait, that's weird. There already are several companies that exist like that.
Really?
And then she and her brother said, never mind, we're not going to invest in that, because they did their research after that and saw that there was a lot of competition.
Wow.
Yeah.
There you go. You see? Keeping your eyes open.
I know a little bit about a lot.
But a lot, yeah.
So.
That's good.
Hopefully the little I do know will help out.
Yeah, definitely. I know. I started getting into a book about grammar.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
I love grammar.
I know. Did you ever read Eat Shoots and Leaves?
No.
Have you heard of that?
Mm-mm.
Okay. That was also kind of, it's like they have those books. I mean, this one I'm reading now is called Between You and Me. And the thing is that, so they make like a grammar book, but it's fun. It's fun to read it. You know, this woman that wrote this one was a copy editor at the New Yorker or something. So she describes her job, you know, what happens when they make typos or things like that, how many times it gets proofread. And then they make it funny also, you know, so it gets to be funny.
This is the book Between You and Me?
Right.
Okay.
Now, but the one Eats, Shoots, and Leaves was very popular a few years ago. Now, think about it. You think that that's why it's a great title. Eats, Shoots, and Leaves. Okay? So now they're saying, okay, well, if you're thinking about this, you're thinking of somebody walking into a bar or something, right? And he eats at the restaurant, he shoots, and then he leaves. But they're saying there, but then pandas, they eat shoots and leaves.
Right.
Okay? So they're saying just because there's no commas, you don't know what it means.
Right.
So you just put commas there and it changes the total meaning of
it.
So that's cool to read about those things, you know?
Yeah.
And
which I live for grammar, because I think if the only thing you have is words to express yourself, let's say somebody can't see you physically and you're communicating by email or text or whatever it is, the only way they can understand you is if you speak in the same language.
Right.
And the things mean the same to both of you. So I get incredibly frustrated when people write things that are just like haphazard.
Right.
And they take on a whole new, like, I'm sorry, an ellipsis is a pause.
Right.
It has three dots.
Right.
And that's all it has. It doesn't have five. It doesn't have seven.
Yeah.
And it definitely doesn't have two. That's right. Called two periods. And you had a typo. But it just drives me berserk.
I know. Were you good in grammar in school? You see, I was too.
I'm good at things that require following direction. History, on the other hand, and memory, that's out the window.
Really?
Couldn't tell you anything about that. But vocabulary words and grammar and spelling to me were like the easiest thing.
I know. And some things it's like, yeah, you should be a reader if you really want to understand grammar. But the fact that we're like the grammar police in many ways is funny, but it's because I think you expect perfection from everybody else, you know, that you give.
Right.
You put into it.
Also, like, we're all educated at some point, you know,
But they may not teach you all that in school. They may not.
But, like, I mean.
But it's a responsibility, right. I think, you know, and to spell things right.
Yeah. Also, hi, spell check, it corrects things for you. It'll show you. There is not a decorative structure in your email. It's not like green. It's not a Christmas tree that happens in your email. What it is telling you you made an error.
Right.
So you That's should maybe true. Rectify that error.
So spell checking is fine, but it still doesn't catch
grammar.
Some grammar.
Right.
Right. Because you can use words that mean the same thing,
right.
but are spelled differently or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. And also, I mean, it does pick up some context, but then there's that like poetic license that people like to use. Mm. And that kills me.
Yeah. Like what, for example?
I wouldn't even know where to begin because I know plenty of people that are criminal of it. But,
right.
So like... they'll use that as an example or as an excuse for why they read and write poorly.
Right.
They're like, well, I say it because that's my poetic license and it's like my flavor I'm putting on it. Like, I understand you.
Right.
But at the same time, it's not right.
Yeah. No, definitely. You know, and all these mistakes of the mix-ups of your and their and all that. I mean, why don't you take a few minutes to understand the differences, you know?
Right.
And you get like... you know what? I can't help but feel less about a person when they
Absolutely.
Make those grammar mistakes.
If a guy texts me and he spells things incorrectly or uses the wrong your, their, whatever it is, I immediately am like, oy. Not only are you not that smart, but you have no attention to detail,
right.
which means that probably infiltrates the rest of your life.
Right. No, absolutely, you know. And I'm here to say, if you read a lot, then you recognize words, you know. If someone writes like marvelous with two L's, you catch it right away. You know, wait a minute, that's not right.
You know? That's the word you chose.
Yeah, well, because I saw it in the book.
Marvelous is a great word.
It is. But, yeah, you know, pay a little bit of attention. But I tell you, another thing that irritates me is the you and I or you and me. Mm-hmm. And that's why they call the book Between You and Me.
Right.
Because a lot of people, well, between you and I or how about this? They gave it to Nancy and I, you know. No, they didn't give it to Nancy and I. They gave it to Nancy and me.
Right.
And the way to figure this out, if people don't know, is take out... the other one. Take out Nancy, for example, and then say the same
right,
the
like,
sentence.
They didn't give it to I.
Exactly. Exactly. And that's how you need to do this.
Right. Well, and also, I get even more frustrated, I would say, at this day and age because it takes 5 seconds to Google anything. You can get to Google from your phone while drafting an email. There are so many things you can do at the same time on your phone that leave you no excuse for spelling things incorrectly.
Right.
It's a simple proofreading, a little due diligence, maybe a little research, and you've got yourself a perfect email.
There you go. There you go. And I read it once and twice.
Me too.
And three times. Because the first time you just let new thoughts on the paper
right.
or on the screen. But the second time, it's like you have to go back and correct things. I mean, it's got to flow.
Yeah.
It's got to flow.
It's got to flow.
So you got to read it in like one fell swoop in addition to writing it. And yeah. So I agree, you know. And people are guilty of these mistakes all the time, even authors, even especially like songs and stuff on the radio. You know, it's like the all these grammar mistakes and stuff.
And Lauren and I like to correct lyrics.
Really?
Often. Particularly the song Animals by Maroon 5.
Right.
Don't understand what an animals, malls,
is. And we talked about it. And it's funny because I listened to it today. And I was thinking about that we said
what's
that.
What's a malls? M-A-L-S.
Right.
Is that something that's bad?
Well, what's la, 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 you know?
I'm okay with like onomatopoeia or like, you know, la. Because do, re, mi, fa, so, la, ti, do. But there's no mall right. in that song.
Right.
There's no doe a ball. There's doe a deer, you right. know? So I don't.
Right. You know, that's the second day I'm hearing of Doremi Fasol La Ti. Isn't it La Si?
No.
Isn't it Si?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Doremi Fasol La. I've always thought it was Si. But yesterday I read, and it was T as well.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm asking you. It's funny.
Well, now it's been confirmed twice.
Is that
like how a news story gets printed? Is three sources or something?
You mean like proofreaders and things like that? Or
yeah, fact checking.
Oh, okay. That there's probably some people that have to do that. That's their only job.
No, no. I'm saying I think it is like the checks and balances. It's like three fact. It has to be confirmed by three different sources.
Oh, by three different sources.
For it to be considered fact.
Right. Otherwise, they just say it's alleged or
right.
reported exactly. or something. Yeah.
So
that's
there.
True.
T.
Yeah.
Or maybe we need one more source because now you've seen it twice. You've heard it. You read it and now I said
well,
it.
I'm convinced enough. I mean, I saw it in print and I heard it from you. Yeah, so okay. there you go. You know. And again, it also depends on things you learn as a kid, you know, because... as a kid, I was in Israel, so when I learned the musical notes, it was do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, si. So I don't know what the hell, but so maybe that's why. The same with like nursery rhymes, I don't know any of them because I wasn't raised with them.
Right.
You know, but everything that came after the age of 16, I'm pretty good with that.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, so there's some missing things. I have some holes.
We all do.
Yeah. And things that happened when we were young, but what the hell. Anyway, that's it for today, folks. Go out, make it a great day. We're going to have another scorcher. You know, what's interesting is yesterday when it was only 73 degrees, it already felt like 90.
In my car, it said 88.
Yeah.
Yesterday, so.
Yeah, that's
hot.
Pretty hot.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, take care, and we'll see you tomorrow. And where am I? Right here.
Listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.